Welcome to Crew Biscuits. I'm Stevie.
And I'm Kevin.
And today at the round table of dim lighting, we are talking all about Kevin. Kevin-related topics only at this table. Kevin, thank you for being here. I didn't give you much of a choice.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Kevin-related topics are my favorite topics.
I must disclose, I just walked into the studio and said that I wet my hat. And that's because I literally put water on my hat, and you can see it, and I don't want comments about what that could be. It's water. I don't know what else it
I said I've been sweating like a pig, so.
It's hot. It's a hot one.
It is hot. Yeah, it's really hot outside.
We were shooting yesterday outside in downtown Pomona the entire day, and at a certain point, your brain, like, mm-hmm. ceases to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my emailing, because I sit at Video Village in a chair, and they have a portable Wi-Fi, and I just have my computer and I'm just reviewing videos and watching Buddy System at the same time. And at a certain point I was just like, cannot process the notes that need to come out of my body onto this. That sounded gross. That is not what's on my hat.
I usually go for walks to get a little exercise in here at work every day.
Like around the
Burbank area, just around this area.
It's beautiful in the Burbank area.
Beautiful, yeah. And yesterday I went out and it was like 100 degrees or close to, and I went around the corner here, you know, like 100 feet that way to the left.
We don't want to disclose what corner you went around.
No. But the one here closest to the door.
Yeah.
And then I went about another 200 feet and I saw Mike sitting down on a brick wall, like in a tiny patch of shade.
I'm putting my phone in my back pocket, sorry.
And I said, he said, "Hey, Kevin." And I said, "Hey, Mike." And I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I tried to go for a walk and this is as far as I made it."
I'm just sitting here in the shade. Also, another fun fact before we go any further, there's a graphic on the mic right here that looks like a little butt. Do you have one?
Oh, yes, I do have a butt graphic.
Do you know what that means?
Hey.
No.
Oh.
good guess, but it means like that is where, in order to get the best sound of this out of this mic, you have to talk right into the middle of it because the other butt area that's not in the crack/hole is a bad butt area to talk in.
Okay, well, I will aim straight for the crack of the butt and I'll talk into it.
Thank you. So I said this last time on Crew Biscuits, but just to reiterate, we are doing Crew Biscuits and other crew-themed podcasts while we are in production on Buddy System. We're also in production on various other things. There are always so many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, you participated in what was almost a brawl outside of my office door to get in to meet with me because I'm very popular.
Yes.
You won.
I did win. I had to bypass Annie, though.
Yes.
See, normally what we do is we go to Annie and we say, "Annie, I need to talk to Stevie." And then she says, she looks at the schedule, and then she says, "I can get you in at this time." And sometimes when Annie's not looking and I see your door open, I just charge full speed into it. And I did that today, and it worked because Annie couldn't stop me. She was just like,
but
"No!"
She did. She screamed, "No!"
She did. And then I slammed the door, and she could do nothing about it.
But that's why Crew Biscuits exists. As I said before, I have no time. We all are busy,
yes.
And I am the worst at having a moment to sit down and talk to you guys. And so that's why I wanted to take this opportunity. I also realized like half an hour ago the amount of stories that I know about you. I think the percentage of the ones that are appropriate to talk about on the show, that percentage is very
small.
Low. But we'll get some of the stories out.
Okay.
So instead of going back to your birth story, let's not talk about your birth story because that's seems like odd. Like we'll go back to like when you were a kid and where
it's
you're
more about
from,
my parents anyways.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I wanted to talk about when I first met you.
Okay.
Because I went back through my inbox and you had sent an email to us in December of 2014.
Yep.
We were looking for a producer and editor for Ear Biscuits, mm-hmm. which is this podcast, kind of.
Yes.
And I have your resume.
Oh, no.
And I also have the cover letter that you wrote. So Ear Biscuits, I mean, I feel like, and you know what's so weird is that I was like, Kevin is an OG Mythical Crew member. Like, right. I feel like you've been here like for a very long time.
I think there was like 8 people that worked here when I started.
Yeah. And it roughly. Feels like forever ago. It really does. And we were at our old studio.
The old studio.
Which was not a studio at all.
No, it was like a house.
It was like a weird, like, the back part was like someone's apartment.
Yes.
And then the front part was like, it seemed like a dental, like a really bad dental facility or
yes,
somewhere.
That is what it felt
where
like.
Where they like gave you drugs
yes.
or something.
It was definitely a drug facility of some sort. And you open the door and there's just a wall. And you're like, oh. And then there's like a staircase that goes up. And you're like, okay, I guess I go that way.
My biggest memory of that like specific little entry room that you're talking about, and I don't mean to throw this person under the bus, but I doubt that they're listening to this. We had someone that was working for us for a very short period of time that mailed a package to ourselves.
Oh, yes.
And I just, in my mind, like, I see that entryway and I just see the package leaning up against the door because uh-huh. I was the one who found it and I was like, from Mythical to Mythical.
Yes.
Weird.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so then I was like, well, but when did Ear Biscuits start? I looked at the wiki page for Ear Biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
September 2013. And that origin story, according to the wiki page, the origin story of Ear Biscuits is that they wanted to, like, tape their marriage counseling sessions, which don't exist, but they wanted to to have them on the podcast. I don't even remember that being even a joke.
No.
But according to the wiki page, that's how the origin story is. But it was more like I was like, hey, we should do a podcast. And they were like, nah. And I was like, come on, we should really do a podcast.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah. And then they came in one day and were like, remember how you were asking if we should do a podcast?
We're going to do a podcast. Yeah.
Anyway, so from September 2013 all the way until January 2015 when you joined, our editing system was a little bit odd.
Yeah.
And so like I was producing the show, booking the guests, doing the research for people, and then I was paper editing the show.
Yeah.
And I remember I have an Instagram post from Harley, Epic Mealtimes episode, and it's every F-bomb that he said on the show, the time code of it.
Yep.
Like, there were some, like, inventive curse words,
yeah.
And it's just a sheet of paper with just, like, really horrible curse words all over it with time codes.
Doesn't surprise me.
But anyway, you started in January 2015, and you took everything over from me, and it was amazing.
I did, yes. I have to tell you how I got the email.
Okay.
But I don't know if you want to talk about the email first.
I would love for you to tell me.
So it's a bit of a long story, but I'll keep it to the highlights.
Okay.
So this might step on some things you're going to ask me soon, though. Are we going back? Are we going back into like...
We're going back, but you can go back before I go back. We can go back together,
okay.
And I don't have to be the back. That
me,
goes back.
Let
you
me line up
back.
This butt crack here and we'll go back.
Okay.
So.
Are you going to have a different voice?
No, I'm going to keep the same. I don't have other voices.
Okay.
I only have one voice. So that email went through like 5
Wait,
people.
Which email are you talking
the
about?
The email that you sent out looking for
okay.
a producer of Ear Biscuits.
Okay, okay.
It went through like 4 or 5 people before it got to me. And it went through 2 of my friends before it got to me.
Really?
Yeah, you never knew this.
No.
I kept this secret until now because I knew one day I'd be on the Ear Biscuits podcast telling you.
Crew Biscuit.
Crew Biscuit. So I had been doing some editing work, some freelance in Los Angeles. And when the work, it was always like out here, it's always feast or famine. So I was in famine mode and I wasn't getting any work. So I started putting out feelers to a bunch of my friends. And I was saying, hey, if anything pops up in line of editing or anything, just let me know. And I started getting desperate because, like, nothing was coming up.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. No, like, I had a Trader Joe's application in the trunk of my car.
Okay.
And I was also collecting unemployment at this time. So I went through great feast times. And then I just hit, like, this slump. And I was also kind of itching to get back into working with a team as well. Instead of freelance editing by myself, it got kind of tiresome and lonely. So I was also looking for something specific, too. And then I finally got a forward message from my friend. There was this email from Stevie. And the friend was, so when I came out to Los Angeles, See, now I think I'm taking over your questions here, probably. Like,
no,
going back in time.
I'm not precious about my questions, okay. Please.
So I moved out to LA like 8 years ago and just wanting to do something in the entertainment industry.
But okay. Yeah, I'm not, this isn't a question, but you're from Lancaster. You're from a very close place to LA.
Lancaster,
just to establish
California.
That.
It's like an hour outside of Los Angeles. It's, if you've ever seen like a car commercial where it's all desert and like Joshua trees, is Lancaster. I mean, they have basically just like seven Walmarts and it's a lot
seven
of like-
Seven Walmarts?
Yeah, they have a lot of Walmarts out there.
Wow, it's just Joshua trees and Walmarts?
Joshua trees and Walmarts.
Okay,
and
we'll get back to Lancaster. I just wanted to set it up for the people that like you moving out to LA was that type of moving situation.
Born in Pittsburgh, moved to Lancaster, California at 3 months old. So raised in Lancaster all the way up to I was 20. And because you're only an hour outside of LA, I knew at a very young age that I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. In fact, I knew when I was in the seventh grade because my neighbor across the street, his aunt lent us their video recorder. And it was like one of those old school, I always call them Flintstone cameras, but they're the ones you like put a VHS tape in and put it in your shoulder. It has like the eyepiece and you have to do like in-camera editing where you stop and rewind. And since we got that camera, we started making little funny sketch videos. And it's the only consistent thing I've done my whole life is like make videos. So I knew then that that's what I wanted to do, but I had no connections in LA. I had no family in the business. My family was always lower middle class, relatively poor growing up. So I couldn't even, they couldn't like buy me a camera to do stuff. So this is all off of someone's like borrowed camera and like a borrowed computer that a neighbor had that were making these videos. But I was very passionate about it. And
like what, like let's dive into one of these videos. Let's get an example. Cause I'm thinking like the only time I ever used cameras like that, it was always Barbies. Like, and I was always Ken, but there was always Barbies and they were talking to each other and then, you know, there was no other possible videos you could make. It was, you could shoot Barbies and then that's all you could do.
I have two.
So it was Barbies, right?
It was all Barbies. Okay. In fact, we did use some Barbies, but I have two VHS tapes at home that are just labeled commercials on them. Because when I was a kid, when we started doing these,
you
we started
local
making
commercials.
We made commercials. Yes, basically.
Oh my God.
So we did a. We did a Got Milk commercial, and we did a Mr. Rogers commercial, and we did a lot of action figure stuff.
Oh, Mr. Rogers commercial. Like in earnest, or like it was making fun of
totally
Mr. Rogers?
Totally making fun, but like an homage, because I loved Mr. Rogers growing up.
Yeah.
So it was kind of both. And we started, the older we got, the kind of weirder they got. I went through a wrestling phase where I was really into wrestling. So we have buried somewhere some wrestling videos where I have like characters that I of the wrestler that I was because I swore that I was going to be a wrestler one day.
Wow.
Yeah, I went through a wrestling phase. In fact, I met The Rock. I met Dwayne Johnson during my wrestling phase. My mom let me ditch school one day so I could go and wait in line for 4 hours in downtown LA to meet The Rock at a book signing.
Wow.
And I told him that I would see him in the ring one day. So if we ever get Dwayne Johnson on the show, you have to let me tell him my story.
I think we can manage that. I think we can make that happen.
I have his book signed. It's proof.
I also thought that you were just ending your story. Sorry, Maggie told me not to lean back, and here I am doing it. I thought that you were just like, in fact, I met The Rock, and then you were going to stop there, and like,
and like
it was just like a bragging moment, and I was like, I don't know where to go from here, Kevin.
I was bragging, but no, this will all get back to the email here, and it'll all make sense, I promise.
Okay, so you're making little videos on this VHS Flintstones camera.
Editing them on, remember those old Macs, the big like huge Macintosh Apple computers that were like colored like neon purple?
Yes.
Remember those?
Those were really cool.
My neighbor had one, so I would use his because again, like my family was kind of poor and they couldn't buy me a computer.
How would that work? So does the video camera have like a cord that connects it to the computer at that point? Because I only did the mini DV, like mini DVs were...
Right.
When I,
So the first phase of making these videos was VHS tape, editing on camera. So if we messed up a take, you'd rewind. Mm-hmm. So you'd always see like a short clip of the mess up and then would like scramble and then cut to the new take. And we had I did it with my friends Brian and Sean. They were like my best friends growing up across the street. And one of them, who's a musician, would be on a keyboard doing like music and sound effects as the background. So that was the first like installment of videos. As time went on and they started, the VHS tapes started getting smaller and smaller. And then we got the computer. They had like a, I think it was like a FireWire cable or something that you'd plug right in. And that was like,
I just wanted everyone to know what the setup was.
The program we used. Yes. Yeah. And that was like a revelation, because then I remember being able to put in a song in a video was like in titles. That was the coolest thing in the world to me.
I remember the first time I edited anything in that way, I was in the edit bay for like, it must have been like overnight at some point. And it was like a 60-second fake intro for something that had a music track behind it. Yeah. And I remember being very excited, but also like very frustrated that it had taken me that long,
so long
to get
to
that place.
Yeah. I don't even know how we did it. It was just all self-taught. Everything I've ever done editing has been self-taught and just learning off of people that are really good at it, like
so
Morgan.
So you ditched wrestling.
Ditched,
and
yeah.
You
there
decided
was
the video thing was where you wanted to go.
Yes, because there was a phase in there of wrestling. Got over that phase. And we continued making videos. And it sort of attracted all of the friends that I had. Like, the older I got, I would take whatever video, like in high school, there was a video class, like the school show that they did every morning, like the announcements. So I took that class and we got to make sketches for that. And then junior college, I went to Antelope Valley College, which was a mile from my parents' house.
Shout out
to AVC. Had some good teachers there. And I took a bunch of film classes there, did a bunch of film projects there. And made some good friends there as well. And then after that, I applied and went to San Francisco State University. And I went there for 2 years, and I went there for creative writing, because I was also, as I was a filmmaker and I was writing sketches, I really liked writing too. And so I thought for school, I had two friends, my two best friends, not Brian and Sean, other two best friends that I made. They're all my best friends. They actually were all my groomsmen at my wedding. Yeah, which is
kind of
cool.
You're not even trying to be
nice. They're literally all my best friends.
I was like, Kevin's so nice, but like Kevin's really nice.
So, they told me to stop not banging on the desk. I'm sorry, Maggie. I keep banging on this.
They're always telling us what not to do.
You don't control me, Maggie. So, I went to school for creative writing, and I went with Benny and Tony, and I was there for 2 years.
You went with friends from home that also went to...
Friends from home. We all applied together, and we got in like... just in the nick of time, because we were short 3 credits for a math class. And we had the one teacher there that everybody said is easy, because I am terrible at math. Horrible. I took one math class my first semester, and it was something like embarrassing, like Algebra 2 or something, and I was failing. And I was like, oh gosh. So I took statistics. If you ever are bad at math and you need the credits, take statistics.
Yeah.
That's a great advice. We had to take a Saturday morning class. Mm. It was the only one available. And we took that and barely passed, but got the credits we needed to go to San Francisco. And I was working at a movie theater, because, you know, the whole movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also working at Technicolor Film Lab, which was in Burbank.
That's cool.
Or North Hollywood. And I got that job because I was a projectionist at the movie theater. And a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to come and do projection down at Technicolor? It's a union job. And I was like 18 years old. Finishing up school, wanting to go to a university. And I thought, sure, why not? And it was great. It was like $32 an hour job. And I was the youngest person doing projection at Technicolor.
The youngest person at Technicolor?
The youngest
go
person
figure.
At Technicolor. And my job was to, I'm sorry, I'm going off in little side tangents, but I promise we'll get to this email. My job there was to run, like, after they printed the reels for movies, I would thread them up in a projector and then play them for color timers to make sure that the prints look good. I think now they send out DVDs and stuff to theaters, or like discs or something to theaters, that using film is not as much anymore. So I knew that being in that.
I don't know if that's true, but I'll just nod my
head. The theater that I worked at, Cinemark 22 in Lancaster, California. Shout out.
Oh, we do shout outs on Crew Biscuits.
Okay.
We made that up last time. We shouted out... who did we shout out last time? I shouted out Jennifer Lawrence. You can shout out The Rock and Antelope Valley High School.
Antelope Valley College, yep. Lancaster High School is where I went. We don't have to shout them out.
Okay, no.
no, they're great. so then this, we passed the math class. I was working for Technicolor. I was working at the movie theater. So I was working two jobs and going to school, full time pretty much. And the Technicolor job, I would thread it up, play it for the color timer just to make sure the print looked good so they could send it off to the theaters. And often you would be running them for, you would be running dailies for the cinematographers. Sometimes the directors would come in. It was like high profile people like Clint Eastwood would come in. And I remember doing The Terminal and the Spielberg movie, and the, I don't know if it was one of the producers. I threaded it up upside down and I didn't know. And it was like my first week. Every projector in there was different. I was 18 years old. I'm pretty sure I developed acid reflux from nerves being there. And I hit start, ran it, and I went to the other projector to thread up the next reel. And apparently they were trying to call me on the phone, but the phone wasn't working. So then I turn around and the guy has the phone in his hand and he's banging on the window with it. And he's screaming at me, but they're soundproof so I can't hear him. So I see that it's upside down and I'm like, oh God. So I had to call the chief projectionist to help me, and he ran down, he helped me. When it was over, the guy came out and basically just talked crap about me for a while and wanted
to— To you?
To my boss, wanting to basically say fire me.
What more can you say other than like he put it in upside down?
Yeah, so, yeah, sorry. And the chief, my boss, was really cool. He just came in, he's like, don't sweat it. That was all he said to me.
I like the idea of someone, of you saying the chief about something.
That was his, he was like chief projectionist, so I always just called him chief. Hey, chief.
Okay, so how does this all tie into the email?
So I ended up making some money from that job, enough to where I could go to school in San Francisco or join the union and be a full-time projectionist. I went to school because San Francisco was way more enticing to me. And
because always go to school, kids.
Yeah, school.
Always
it was like
go to school,
especially in San Francisco. It's so expensive now, and it was at the time I was there, but not nearly as bad. And I had a great 2 years there. It was an incredible experience. And then I moved back home, as you do after college, not knowing what to do. I just had a degree in creative writing, which, I mean, what are you going to do with that?
I was going to ask you if you were pushed into creative writing because they didn't want you to go into video, or one of, you know, the families that are like, no, you can't get a degree in that, but you have to get a degree in this. But before I get that answer.
Hello, Mythical Beast. Greetings from the set of Buddy System Season 2. That's why this recording sounds a little different than the ear biscuit that you were just enjoying.
Because we're in a trailer right now.
Yeah, we're in my trailer. Rhett and I have separate trailers. You know, one of the
you made it sound like there's an issue. There's no issue. It's just we're just grown men who need our space.
We didn't ask. They just gave us two trailers. I mean, we're both sitting in one trailer doing this right now. You could stretch the cord into your trailer if there was an issue.
It would be really awkward if I was trying to do this and not being able to hear or see you.
Well, another hazard of being a professional actor and producer like we are right now is a lot of people seeing you in your underwear on set. Have you noticed this? Basically, I've come to grips with the fact that the whole crew has seen both of us in our underwear multiple times, and that's just part of it.
I changed seven times last Monday, and one day I was in seven different outfits.
And you can't
find
an enclave.
Set, man. Yeah,
you got to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just about efficiency. And by the way, there's lots of points in Buddy System where we're basically naked anyway. So it's like there's no surprises for anybody anyway. We're all friends and we're all professionals.
You're raising a lot of questions that will be answered in Season 2 of Buddy System. But that's not what this is about. This is about how proud we are, how much we look forward to at this point changing. And getting down into just our skivvies, because you know what we've been wearing? We've been wearing me undies, the most comfortable, literally, the most comfortable underwear that you can wear. And they also look good with all these patterns. And so I just look forward to the opportunity to show them off. Sometimes I just show them off and people are like, you changing into something else? I'm like, no, I'm just showing you my me undies.
I am currently wearing the light blue me undies with the dark blue flowers all over them.
I'm just wearing the army green because I'm all about business today.
Okay, and a little bit of camouflage. Here's the thing, guys. We highly recommend trying out some MeUndies, and we got a deal to sweeten it for you. Get 20% off your first pair, plus free shipping. All you got to do is go to MeUndies.com/ear. That's MeUndies.com/ear to get 20% off your first pair. MeUndies.com/what?
Ear. Before we get back to the biscuit, we want to let all of you Spotify listeners know that's us, Rhett and Link, and Ear Biscuits.
That's the podcast that you're currently listening to.
Is now available on
Spotify.
Wait,
did you forget what you were saying?
I looked down.
You said, you looked down at your
I looked down and saw podcasts. And I was like, oh no, because I wanted to read the website. But Spotify. Now available on Spotify. Go to Spotify.com/podcasts or just go to the podcast section within the browse tab when you're using Spotify on mobile. Or you could just go on Spotify and search for Ear Biscuits. Any of those ways, all of those ways, we will come up. We will be there. We won't be square. We'll be in your ear.
And we will be in our underwear with clothes over them.
Yes.
Well, it's just, or just the audio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Spotify.com/podcast. Now, back to the biscuit.
So you were asking me.
So the teaser was, did your family bully you into one degree or another when it came to college?
And the answer is a very simple no. My parents are really awesome. I was very lucky with great parents and great brothers, great family. So no, they supported me in any endeavor I have ever wanted to go on. They would back it. For me, it was just always a balance between I love writing and I love editing and filmmaking. And the two are mutually exclusive, but when you go to school, you got to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
And I just chose writing. I was just in the phase of it at the time.
I just to talk about myself for a second.
Please.
I too knew that I wanted to be in the entertainment industry, but when I was a kid, I either wanted to be an actor. That is not something that as I grew older, I was comfortable with. In fact, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about is as soon as the cameras start rolling, I get very self-conscious, which people have commented on GMM, like, why is Stevie always hiding behind something? Well, it's a lot easier that way. I wanted to be an actor, an entertainment lawyer.
Ooh.
Or a producer.
Okay.
And I feel like my parents were like, please don't be an actor. Please don't be an actor. and they were like, please be an entertainment lawyer. But I chose in between the two that I could have. Anyway,
that's
good,
though.
Back to Kevin.
Hey, back to me now. I'm going to keep on rambling. So after school, I moved back home, as you do. And I was trying to figure out what to do, and I bounced around a lot of random jobs. I have worked a lot of random jobs, a lot of retail jobs. So general ones are like Blockbuster Video. I worked at,
so cool. I was just thinking about when I was little, I would go to Blockbuster at least once or twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
But it would get to the point where I had seen everything on the shelves. Like as soon as I saw a movie that I hadn't seen, I was like, is this appropriate for me to watch? Yes. Because I haven't seen it and it looks good.
When I worked at Blockbuster, they let you have 5 free rentals a week.
That means no social life.
That means no social life. Yeah. Lots and lots of movies. I worked at the movie theater. I worked for Tower Records for a brief time.
You had really cool jobs.
Yeah, those were some of the
coolest. I worked at Build-A-Bear. And that, I feel like if I looked at myself, I would understand that as well.
Yes.
But you're a lot cooler than I am.
Well, so. I also worked for T-Mobile for a while. And I worked I hung posters for a local fair once for a while.
Hmm.
Got my first paycheck doing that. I wrote music reviews for a website called Prefix Mag, shout out. And I got my first check as a writer from Prefix Mag for
$6. $6 for one
article? $6 for writing one article, yes. But hey, it was kind of cool. I was like, I got paid for writing. That's cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then I worked for a hotel company for a long time.
I saw that on your resume that I have.
A very long time. And that was like, I chose that because I thought about going to grad school, but this job popped up and I thought I can travel with this job. And I did. Like, I got to go to Holland and I got to go to Ireland. Hmm. And I had my first trip to New York and I went to Napa Valley. Had a lot of cool trips from that job. So it was good for what it was. And then finally, my friend Benny, who I went to college with, Tony's still
best.
There. Yes, Tony is still.
Tony's still in college?
No, he's still in San Francisco.
Because that is an interesting problem.
A long student, yes. No, Tony's still in San Francisco.
A long student.
That makes sense, right? Sort of. So Benny finished grad school, and then he said, I'm moving to LA, and I want you to move in with me. And I was like, I want to do that too, but I'm working at this hotel job and I, you know, it's a long commute and I don't know if I want to do it, but because Benny was in the same boat. He wanted to be an actor and he knew I wanted to do work in the entertainment industry. So he was like, look, I'm going to move now. And you, I think my recommendation is for you to move out here with me and then you can start looking for what you really want to do because you'll be here. You just won't keep putting it off. And it was actually really great advice. So I did have to commute for a while, but I was actively looking for stuff here in town because I was trying to figure out how, like, you know, the infamous saying of, like, getting your foot in the door somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest thing to do when you have no connections and no family members in the business.
You were at Technicolor.
I was at Technicolor, yes, as the youngest projectionist ever there. So I moved out here, and we joined a sketch comedy group called Good Form Peter. Shout out. They're dead now. They no longer exist. Not, like, physically dead, but the group is dead.
That was going down a path I did not think it was going to go down.
And we did a few sketches, and it kind of lit the flame of, like, this is what I have been doing my whole life, and this is what I want to do. And we realized, the two of us, we should just start our own. We were doing it with a group of people and we weren't really doing what we wanted to do. So we started our own sketch comedy group called Joy Camp. And shout out Joy Camp. And this was the, like, it was like I was applying for jobs to be an editor or a writer. Nothing was working. And when we started this, it was the beginning of everything for me. So the two of us got together with a couple of other good friends, our friend Delman, who is Lee Newton's now husband.
Yes.
Who's one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my whole life. My friend Nick and my brother. My brother would do all the shooting for us, and a few other friends. And so we started this group and we started making videos for YouTube. And they did okay. They did pretty well. We got like up to like 17,000 subscribers and we found our little niche audience. And it opened all the doors for me in this business because, first of all, it taught me like to get better at editing, better at writing, just more efficient in general, lighting, all the stuff that it takes to do like what we do here, basically.
Yeah.
And so I built my resume doing that. And then that's how I started getting my freelance editing jobs, was from that. And I did I worked for Roseanne Barr.
That is noted in my notes right now. Should we go? I'm sorry, you go to your email, but I do want to talk about your resume and your cover letter to
me,
because it is funny how directly it
connects. So I'll get to the email and we'll come back to that.
Then. Okay.
So it got me a lot of jobs, including this one here at Mythical Entertainment, because your email you sent to Studio 71, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Mitch was working for Studio 71 in the New York office. I don't think he does anymore, but he was at the time. So they sent it to him saying, hey, do you know anybody that will fit this?
That is so nice that they were spreading the word like that.
Yes. Mitch sent it to Nick. They're in a YouTube group called The Clunes, which are great. And Nick knew that I had been putting feelers out for a job, so he sent it to me because Nick was doing Clune stuff and he didn't need a job. So he sent it on to me and I read it and as I was reading it, I was like, this sounds great. Like, this sounds like totally right up my alley. So I drafted up my email that I sent to Mitch. Mitch said he'll sing my praises. And I got really excited. And like I said, it was very exciting for me to get that email because I was on the search for a couple of months and my bank account was just depleting, living off of savings. I was getting nervous. The holidays were coming up. I went to Trader Joe's. I got an application. I was like, I can do that for a little while till the work comes in. And my unemployment, so this is how crazy this is. I came home one day, like kind of beaten down from just nothing panning out. And I opened the mailbox and I had my last unemployment check. Literally the last check that I got from unemployment. I go inside and I'm like, okay, what the heck am I gonna do? I got my Trader Joe's application, open up my laptop and I had an email from you.
Oh my God.
On the exact day. And I just thought like, it's too good to be true. So then you basically set up an interview for me at the old office, which I came into. I was very excited about it and very nervous because it was like the three of you guys in the room. It was like Rhett and Link, who I'd never met before.
I always forget that about interviews, period. Whenever I have the guys in an interview, I always forget that for whoever we're interviewing, it makes things even more like, you know, heightened. Yes. Like the anxiety level is so much more heightened.
Like, it was a long
also,
time.
Also, they're very tall.
They are really tall, and it was shocking. Like, they were sitting, like, on one side of me, and you were, like, on the other side of me. So I was, like, flanked.
I need to be better about yes. like interview etiquette. I remember even when I interviewed with them way back when, we met at a coffee shop and we were standing in line to get food, and I was trying to talk to them. I knew who they were at the time, but you know, and I was like looking, like I literally was like trying to. Like, it was this situation, and I was like, "I'm not you. This is. Ooh, I hope I'm coming off yeah. okay." But like, anyway, sorry. So interviewed. I also have a. When you came in for your interview, it was such a small studio, and I think that yes. you were really excited. So you were talking at a volume that was
you could hear me
louder
bro.
than oh, you no. talk in yeah. real life. Yeah. And I remember thinking like. This guy talks so loud, but I was like, he's so nice and he totally gets it and he's a podcast fan yes, and I really want to have him and let's hope that he doesn't talk that loud in real life. yeah. And then you didn't. And I was like, okay, good.
It was probably the nerves. Just like you kind of like put under a microscope in those situations and like the natural reaction is just to talk really loud because that'll make me better for some reason. I was dripping sweat when I came out. I didn't know if you guys knew that, but I walked out. The first thing I did when I got home was take a shower. But when I closed the door behind me, I could hear you guys.
Oh, kind no. of.
But I couldn't tell what you said, and it made it even more nerve-wracking because I either thought you guys said, he was awesome, or, well, he was awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't know which one. So, like, the whole time, I'm like, no, it was awesome. They
we
said
also
awesome.
Probably didn't say either
you
one of those things.
You probably didn't say either. It was probably you something were, unrelated. Yeah. Yeah, it was all in my head. But, like, the whole drive home, I'm like, they think I'm awesome. No, they think I'm awful. They think I'm awful. I'm not getting the job. No. But then, I don't know, it was a few days later, I got another email, and I was so pumped. Because it was, like, a little trial run thing that you guys gave me, which I did, and I think I did really well on it. And then you offered me the position, and it was like the beginning of December.
Yeah.
But I wasn't starting until January.
Yeah.
But it was the best Christmas gift ever because it was like, that's I know I have so a job nice. In January, and now I get to enjoy the holidays like with my friends and family. So it was like, I mean, you should have seen like when I told Kate, she was like jumping for joy.
Well, let's jump to Kate for a moment because okay. I have a good Kate story too. Well, I mean, that's really amazing.
You do have that a good Kate
fate,
story.
That fate, which is a word that rhymes with Kate, is amazing. And I'm glad that you're still here. And I feel yes. like you've been here for a very long time.
I know.
Time.
I'm old school.
Kate is your wife yes. now. She used to be your girlfriend. Then she was your fiance.
Yes, girlfriend for like 10 years.
Really? Was that long?
On and off for 11 years, and then we got married. And wow. we've been married for almost a year now.
How's it going?
People always ask, like, how's married life? And I'm like, it's the same. Like,
yeah.
It's literally exactly the same. But it's great.
But Kate has a secret that's not actually a secret. Kate is a twin.
She is identical twin.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah,
how does
sure.
that, like, so how did you guys meet?
So
how do twins meet other people? No,
I made a video about how we met for.
Sorry, I didn't see that one.
I meant to Slack it to everybody after the wedding, and then I forgot. Hmm. But I made it specifically for the wedding.
Ah.
And it's one of those, it's like a spoof of like the drunk history thing with her sister and I. But I recorded them. The twist was they didn't know they were being recorded. I just got audio of them, and then I had Delman and my friend Benny play their parts and reenact the whole story. But
and you pieced together audio clips from them
so
that told the story without them knowing?
So M was one night she...
We've got to put this somewhere, by the way, now that we're talking about it. Just cut to a clip.
I'll be happy to share it, yeah.
Let's cut to a clip.
It's on my personal YouTube channel. It's the only public video on my personal YouTube channel because I use that for like... when I'm sending drafts of editing things yeah. to people. But that tells the whole story pretty much in full. But we met in high school through my girlfriend at the time, Cassie.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's my girlfriend's name.
Yes, it is. She's awesome, too. Cassie's
my girlfriend?
Best. Yes.
Or your Cassie?
She was cool, but your girlfriend's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah. We kind of knew each other off and on in high school. And then one day, I moved to San Francisco, and my first summer, after living there for a year, I went camping at the Kern River. And the Kern River is not far from LA. Most people don't know it. It's a couple hours away. But it was something that I did with my guy friends frequently. And unbeknownst to me, it was something that she did with her family for a long time. And we just so happened to be there at the exact same time and just so happened to have a mutual friend that was there that knew that we were both there that brought everybody together. And that's pretty much where we hit it off and then kind of dated on and off ever since. Yeah, at the Kern River. And there's a lot more to the story, but it's all in that video that I'll be happy to share.
We'll link to it. Yes. And we'll cut to a clip.
Yes.
So in high school, you were like, oh, there are these twin
yes,
girls that
twin
are
girls. Yeah.
But they're identical.
Identical twins.
And isn't there a story where they did fool you once or you almost were fooled?
They did. That's like a very common twin question for them is if they ever like traded places and stuff. And they did, but never.
They specifically did. I remember a story about that.
They've done it like here and there. They've done it like on the phone. You can't tell which is which.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So there's been many times where I've called and Em's picked up the phone and I've talked to her for 20 minutes thinking it was Kate. So
wait,
little things
like
that.
She's actively trying to fool you,
yes,
or she just wanted to talk to you for
like actively
minutes.
Trying to fool me. Wow. Yeah. So there's been a lot of things like that along the way, but never anything like super crazy.
This is my Kate story. and I can't remember, was it after VidCon? It was after some kind of convention or some trip I was taking with Rhett and Link. And whenever I go with Rhett and Link anywhere, they get approached by a lot of people. And then I am standing there, so they have to say something to me like, oh, and Stevie, we know who you are too. And so I was in this mindset where that week yes, had been a lot of people approaching me and talking about the show. And I was feeling pretty good about the show, but like I had a business lunch in our neighborhood, mm-hmm, in Los Feliz. That's as specific as I'm going to get.
Yes.
And I was on the phone on the way to a meeting, and I like glanced to my side. I was waiting for the light to change and for me to cross the sidewalk. And there was a really pretty girl who was like in her 20s, and mm-hmm, she was wearing a GMM hoodie. But she was also wearing sunglasses and a hat.
Yeah.
And I was like, my first thought was, oh man, I really don't want to, like, I don't know. I don't know what this interaction is going to be. Yeah. Like, we're waiting to cross the sidewalk. I don't know what she's going to say to me. I'm on the phone. I have to go to this meeting. This is really, like, I just panic. When anyone approaches me, I panic. Yeah. And did you teach me the technique, I think, of, like, asking somebody what their name is?
Yes, I think, yeah, I did tell you that.
Because that's what yeah, I use now is, yes, like I immediately go to, what's your name? Because I'm like, oh, that's a sentence I, yes, can complete right now at this, yes, moment. And so here I am thinking like, well, I feel really good about our show because we're in this cool neighborhood and this cool girl's wearing our sweatshirt and I'm standing right here and we have fans. And then, how did I find out it was Kate?
Like, you texted me. The same time that she texted me.
Yes. Because I thought that I had thought about it and then was like, oh, wait. Like, yeah. I had to rationalize the situation.
I think she was like saying hi, but you were like kind of in your nervous like reaction to her. And I think it came off to you in your mind. It came off as like you dissed her. And to her in her mind, she came off as someone creepy. So I got both these. I got a text message on one end from Kate thinking that I just creeped out Stevie, and one from you, I think I just dissed your girlfriend. Yeah. But then we resolved it.
Yeah.
And it was all good.
Yeah. But the day that I do see a cute girl in her 20s wearing a GMM sweatshirt in Los, yes, Feliz, that'll be cool. Who's, yeah, not your wife. Yes. Yes. I think that'll feel pretty cool.
Now, I do have one story that I have shared with you at the time, but not with any of the viewers, which is my proposal.
Mm.
And I don't know how much time we have. Are we good on time right now? Because we're okay? Okay. So I'll keep this one to just the highlights. But this is like one of my favorite stories because it involves me almost dying. As well as Kate, too.
Mm.
And her whole family. So this is my proposal story. Storybook proposal story. We were camping in Wrightwood, which is a great camping place outside of LA that not a lot of people here know for some weird reason, which is what makes it great. And it's been a ritual that we go there and we go on these long hikes up this thing called Mount Baden-Powell. This thing, it's a mountain. We hike up a mountain called Mount Baden-Powell. It's a very steep, long hike. It takes like 2.5 to 3 hours to get up. and a little shorter getting down, but it's very steep. And we've done it pretty much every year that we've like been together.
This doesn't sound like, like at the top, is there like this oasis where you're like, everything's beautiful here?
It is. It's once you get to the top, it's so rewarding that you've made it to the top. And then you can kind of chill out and eat some food.
And
there's a log up there that we like carved our names into years and years ago. And so I thought that'd be a great spot to do that. And since
her whole family knew that you were going to do that.
They did. And it was her whole family, and me and her, and then one of our friends was with us too. And we were just all like a big camping group for a couple days.
Did she have any idea that this was coming?
She kind of had an inclination. Yeah. She kind of knew. Wasn't positive, but she kind of knew. And so what I did was, as long as I've been with her, I've always made what I call like video albums of like pictures compiled together of our time together. But I edit it to, you know,
like
cool music.
Like virtual, and like digital scrapbooks.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I've been doing that forever. It's
did you know that the iPhone, the new...
does it have like an app that does
it
this?
It is crazy.
Really?
Yes. Like you go to your camera. Should I? Okay, maybe I'll see it? I just want to show you.
I want to see it because this
I'm
will save
show,
me a lot of time
I'm
in the future.
I'm going to show the camera as well. And I was like, I was playing with this for a very long time because it's very creepy. Okay, so here is, let me see if it does it with this one. Okay, so here is this photo I just shared on Instagram one of the scenes in Buddy System that I really like.
Okay.
So when you're in your photos, you just scroll up and then it has related albums. I don't know if you've seen this feature.
I have.
So then let's say I want to click on... July 13th, which also looks like season one of Buddy System.
Okay.
Then I can press play right here.
And it starts doing a slideshow.
Not only does it do a slideshow.
Music? No.
Let's see.
Oh no, there's music. Is it from your library? Well, I'll never have to make one of those ever again.
No, and look at this. Also, there's choices for what you want the music to be.
Oh, my gosh.
So dreamy, sentimental, gentle, chill, happy, uplifting, epic. Let's see. Epic. You just go to epic and...
I bet it's going to play epic music. It is. It's a trailer. And it's kind of in sync, too. Well, now I'm not going to be as cool if I make another one of those videos.
How? That, like, come on. You cannot not play with that feature for hours. I'm going to admit it, hours.
Oh, I'll be playing with that for hours tonight after this podcast, for sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. So that's what you did.
I did that a lot.
By putting, like, labor into it and, like, making it a cute thing.
So okay. I made that for the proposal, which I... could only show on my laptop, so I had to bring my laptop up on the hike, which was a long hike, like I said, and it was much harder to get up there having a laptop backpack on you. But we made it to the top. I opened it up, showed the video to everybody, did the proposal. It was beautiful, like the sun was out.
I'm guessing at the point when you took out your laptop is when she really knew something was
up. She was like, huh, are we about to watch a movie or something?
now we're up on top of this mountain.
So
let's watch a movie.
That went great. We all kind of celebrated and, you know, cheers and all that. And then we made our
way. Did she cry? Did you cry?
Everybody did.
Everyone cried.
Yeah, everyone cried. Okay. And then we made our descent down the mountain. And we noticed in the far off distance, there was this big plume of smoke coming up.
Oh, yes. I know this story.
It turns out that there was a big accident on the freeway, which was like not terribly far from the campgrounds, but far enough. And it just kind of gave this like sort of like ominous gloom to everything in that direction. And then we made our way back to town where we usually stop and have dinner after the hike. And we saw it on the news. There's this big accident and this fire. And then it got really windy. Out in that area, there's like high winds that are intense. And we go back to our campsite and the campsite is completely destroyed. The tents, everything blown over, toppled over on the ground. So we start cleaning up and putting things away and putting our tents back up. And during that time, Kate starts feeling really sick. So she comes down with the flu and she's now throwing up. So she's throwing up And the campsite's back together, but it's really windy. And she says, I'm going to go to bed early. It was like 8 o'clock. So I said, okay, well, too. Tired from the hike. So we go to bed. She's kind of intermittently getting up to throw up and then to come. Sorry, Caden, it's a little embarrassing, but coming back in the tent. And then we finally fall asleep. Everybody falls asleep. And then I'm awoken by the sound of our friend Shannon saying, guys, guys, guys. And then I hear sirens. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I thought I was dreaming. Open the tent. Shannon is leaning in. She's like, the mountain is on fire and we're being evacuated. I was like, come again? So it's
cheerio,
like,
pip, pip, nice seeing you. Goodbye.
In a total daze, you know, you get out of the tent and I look around and it's everything's like kind of coming to me. And I see a cop coming around with sirens going and he's on his loudspeaker saying, everybody must evacuate the mountain. The mountain is on fire. This is not a drill. I repeat, this is not a drill. And I see all these campgrounds like rushing, packing up. And me and Shannon are the only ones up in our campground. So I like have to wake Kate up. And the thing about Kate and Em is, when they get into deep sleeps, they do not wake up.
Especially when they have the flu, I'm sure.
Especially when they have the flu. So it's panic starts to set in, and her dad and mom wake up, and then I'm like trying to piece things together, and I'm trying to wake up her sister who will not wake up. She is out cold. Em, Emily, Em, the mountain's on fire. Wake up, Em. And she's just laying there, dead asleep. And her boyfriend gets up and he was trying to wake her up and that wouldn't work. And everybody's kind of taking their time, like putting like the mom, her mom is like folding the table. And I'm like, no, like the mountain is on fire. The cop comes around a second time. The siren's blazing. I repeat, this is not a drill. I look around. Everybody else is gone except for us. So Shannon went into Em's tent and she took the air mattress and started doing this up and down with it. And Emily is like flopping around like a fish out of water, still dead asleep. And then I get Kate up and she's helping me. And at this point, I'm grabbing everything I can grab and throwing it into the car. And her dad's kind of doing the same. The cop comes around the third time and he says, this is your final warning. You have to get off the mountain now. The fire is closing in on the only exit on this mountain. If you do not get off, you are stuck on this mountain. And he's very stern about it.
That doesn't seem very helpful.
No,
though.
Not at all. So can you get out? Give us a hand,
cop,
maybe?
Yeah, wouldn't
he was just looking out for himself.
This is your final warning.
Yes.
That your life is in jeopardy. Gotta go. Bye.
Yeah. See ya. So I'm like at this point, kind of yelling at everybody just to get him. We get Emily up. She immediately starts crying just because she's like in a daze, doesn't know what's going on. We're yelling at her, so she's crying. I put her in the car. I get Kate in the car. We get everything that we can get packed up, and then Emily's boyfriend runs off to his car. He has a flat tire.
Oh,
so
yes.
He's driving down the thing in a flat tire.
Oh, yes, I remember. Everything gets progressively worse.
Yes. I get in our car, and then Don gets in the camper that we have, the truck that pulls the camper, and he's behind me, and I still see Carolyn, her mom, trying to get stuff off the campground, like folding up chairs. And I'm like leaning out the window like, Carolyn, get in the truck. Let's go. So she gets in the truck, and we finally start driving off, and we turn the bend, and they were not kidding. The fire was coming over the top of the mountain. We were driving into the flames. It was my heart was beating like, am I going to be able to drive off this mountain? And if not—
And there was no one like in front of you or
no one in front
you.
Of us, no one around. It's pitch black except for these gigantic flames coming over the hill.
At those moments, you kind of think like, isn't there someone in the world right now that's supposed to tell me what I'm supposed to do right now?
Kind of, yes.
You know?
It was honestly like in the moment, it's fun to tell it now, but in the moment, it was absolutely terrifying. Because like the heart's beating really fast, I'm driving into the flames and I'm thinking, is the exit going to be closed? And if it is, what the heck are we going to do? Turn around, ditch the car and run down this dark mountain in the middle of the night, probably. So we're going—
Well, at least you had a plan.
Yeah, running down a dark mountain away from the fire. We're going down the winding road and we come around the last bend and I'm like, fingers crossed, please, please, please. And sure enough, the flames hadn't quite hit it yet and it was open. So they kind of waved us through. We drove down the street. Even Em's boyfriend at the time, he got his car off with a flat tire. He parked it there. And then we go and we pull off the street. And now Em has come down with the flu. So Em and Kate are on the side of the road. It's like 3 a.m, throwing up on the side of the mountain. And I'm standing in the middle of the street, seeing like her family on the street, looking at this mountain that's just engulfed in flames.
Story, that is a good
book,
proposal story.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see the video that you used before the fire, before
yes.
the actual fire, but after the romantic fire yes. of your hearts.
Yes.
Well, Kevin, I think that's our time.
Okay.
Thank you. I mean, I just arbitrarily determined that.
Yeah, that's good. You have to stop me because otherwise I could just keep going on and on forever.
Thank you so much for being on Crew Biscuits.
It was great to be here.
If you want more Crew Biscuits, let us know in the comments below. And thank you for listening and for watching This Is Mythical and subscribing. You've been a great audience.
You're the best. Why, hello, Stevie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Everything's going well, except for the fact that I totally forgot to ask you to sign the table of dim lighting, and I'm here on the Buddy System set, and I thought that if I did not get you to sign it, I would not be able to sleep at night tonight. So I was wondering if you could go in there and sign it right now.
You know what? I would love to, because I actually have not slept a single night since, so... I'm going to go ahead and...
You connected earlier.
I know. I'm just leaving Rhettenlink's office because that's where I work when they're off filming Buddy System. And now I'm in the Ear Biscuits room. There's a pen on the table. So should I just sign anywhere?
I think that to be fair to Alex and the rest of the crew that I'm having on Crew Biscuits, you got to go underneath.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Okay, I'm dropping down now. I'm going to set the phone down because I need...
Here's the pen.
Okay. Here comes the pen cap. Okay, you hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Listen close. I'm going to sign. You hearing this?
Yep.
Okay, first name's done. Here comes the last name.
Oh, this is a long... Sure.
Yeah, my last name is kind of long, but Stevie, you'll be happy to know that I have signed the table.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Stevie.
Sleep well.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. So it's been 2.5 years that I've worked here, and I finally got my name on the table, which is awesome. Now, Alex signed the table before me. He's back here. You can't really see it. It's a little bit of a scribble. He kind of dramatically decreased the value of this table, so I'm hoping that my signature... has brought that value back up. But in all seriousness, it's an honor to be on this table here. Thanks, guys.